How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 88 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head on to iTunes and search Locked On Thunder to subscribe to the podcast there, and you can leave a review once you're on that page. Also, find us on audioboom.com too. Log on to normantranscript.com and check out my blog, Thunder Road. It's under the sports tab on the site, and you can find all your Thunder coverage there. I'm on every day of the week, Monday through Friday. Welcome back. Hope you had a good weekend. It's going to be a little different this week, Thanksgiving week, so I'm taking off Thursday. So there's going to be no show on Friday. They play the Nuggets on Friday, but no game on Thursday, no NBA on Thursday. So I'm taking that off and go back to the normal schedule next week. Still four shows this week. I think that's probably enough of me. The Thunder lost tonight, 115-111 to the Pacers in overtime. No Paul George, no CJ Miles. 31 points, 11 rebounds, 15 assists for Russell Westbrook. 18 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists in the fourth quarter in overtime for him. Thaddeus Young had 20-11. Glenn Robinson had 16-11. Jeff Teague, MVP of the game, 30 points, 9 assists, 6 steals. Groggy start for the Thunder. They got down, what was it, 30-21 at the end of the first quarter. They were down 15 in the second half. They had to come back. It's been a theme. They gave up 40 to the Nets in the first quarter on Friday. They ended up winning that game. It didn't matter. They won by 19 because there's a talent gap between them and the Nets. But slow start against Detroit on the second half of that back-to-back. Slow start against Orlando earlier in the week. They got off to a good start against Houston. That was a nice beginning. They had 38 points in that first quarter, but the defense was kind of lacking in the first half. Defense was really lacking in the first 42 minutes of that game, 41 minutes of that game, and they really turned it on the last 6.5 minutes and got helped by a bunch of Detroit missed threes, or Houston missed threes also, I should say. So that's been a theme really for about a couple of weeks. Like the Thunder, I don't know where they are after tonight. They were number 5 in defense going into the game, so it's not like defense is really the issue. When they lose on the whole, on the aggregate, maybe sometimes defense has been an issue because it's been inconsistent. But they're still number 5 in defense. Like, that's very, very, very good. I'm not 100% where they are after the game, but they're a top 10 defense. Defense hasn't been the issue. But early in the games, the defense is not necessarily producing. There were a lot of plays, especially in the first half, where Teague was getting into the lane, and just no one was rotating over to go get him. I mean, there was a play where Abrines is a guy, he is standing there guarding a guy in the paint in the first quarter, and sees next to Steven Adams, he's next to Victor Oladipo, and Oladipo doesn't come in because Abrines' back is turned, and he's kind of walling off Oladipo, and Teague comes in and gets a layup. And like, there were plays like that where a guy gets into the lane for the Pacers, and nobody comes over and helps. I thought the help defense was down tonight. I didn't think it was Steven Adams' best game. I thought he played really well against Brooklyn defensively, even though Brook Lopez hit those threes early. I thought he played really well against Houston defensively. I don't think this is a theme. I don't think it will be a theme, but I just didn't think he had a great defensive night on the whole. I didn't really think anyone on the Thunder had a great defensive night. I mean, this is a game. I know a lot of people disagreed with me when they lost that Detroit game, and I said second half of a back-to-back, schedule loss, not a bad loss. Not a good loss. Not a great loss. Not something that you should walk away from feeling proud about or great about, but schedule loss, not the worst thing in the world. This isn't a good loss. The Magic loss, that was a really bad loss. That was a bad home loss to a team where they gave up a ton of points to an offense that's been one of the worst in the league this year. This one, no Paul George, no CJ Miles. They struggled to guard Glenn Robinson III, who's been getting under 12 minutes a game this year. This was not a good loss for them. The way they went about losing, it was not a good loss for them. They gave up 15 offensive rebounds, and that doesn't sound awful. I mean, look, they missed a decent amount of shots, so there are going to be a lot more rebound opportunities. But the Pacers pulled down about 30% of available offensive rebounds. It's a lot higher than their season percentage. And the Thunder are a team that if they're going to win games, if they're going to beat teams, if they're going to beat teams, especially teams they should beat, like a Paul George-less, CJ Miles-less Pacers team, they're going to beat those teams. They're going to need to outwork teams on the boards. It's a big part of their identity. Adams and Cantor and even their wings, Robertson and Westbrook and all those guys, these are all good rebounders. LaVerne, good rebounder. These are all good rebounders. And these are guys who have to be going in and getting boards and boxing out. They just didn't do a great job boxing out tonight. You know, the final offensive rebound for Indiana was massive. 101 to 100. Only seconds remaining. Ball gets kicked out to the corner. Robinson misses the corner three. Thunder could have gotten it with one-point game. Seconds left in regulation, and Thaddeus Young gets the rebound. He gets fouled with like 5 seconds left. He ends up going to the line, makes a couple of free throws, and you know what happens next. Russell Westbrook hits that amazing three, and the game eventually goes into overtime. But that's not something that you want to see to end regulation. That was an amazing shot by Russell Westbrook, but I'm willing to bet that the majority of the time Russell Westbrook doesn't make that shot. Fun fact also, that play that they ran to get Westbrook that open three, that's a play that they normally run for Kevin Durant. I vaguely recall them running it once for Russell Westbrook last year. It was before I was covering the team, though, so I don't have it like filed away as in either in my computer or in my memory bank of who it was run against. But I vaguely remember who they run that against. That little screen rescreen, though, that's I know people the D'Antoni diehards would be excited to know that there's a little bit derivative Mike D'Antoni in there because he loves that screen rescreen stuff. Alvin Gentry loves the screen rescreen stuff, and that's what they did on that final play. Anyway, I'm getting real inside baseball, but I'm willing to admit, and I think you should be too. Majority of the time, that ball's not going to go in, and the process was a little bit off tonight. The rebounding wasn't there. I thought Russell Westbrook was holding the ball too much. Russell Westbrook said after, he acknowledged, didn't play well. He said he didn't play well. Kept using the word not ready. I wasn't quite sure what that meant. I explicitly asked him, what do you mean by not that ready? And I have this clip up on my Twitter. You can check it out, at Fred Katz. I explicitly said, you know, what do you mean not that ready? I still kind of don't know what he meant, but he was very clear that he was taking a lot of responsibility for the loss, so that's something. But Russell Westbrook was holding the ball a lot. I thought the last four games he's been great as a decision maker, as a distributor in terms of his shot distribution. He's been wildly efficient. He's been taking tons of shots around the rim. He's really limited those pull-up threes, those pull-up long twos. I think he's been phenomenal offensively these last four games. Until tonight, I didn't think he was phenomenal. He had a triple-double. Like he's Russell Westbrook. He's still going to put up these like majestic lines because he just has an outrageous amount of ability, but I think Russell Westbrook would even say it's fair to judge Russell Westbrook on a scale that's different than other people. And I thought he was dribbling the ball too much. He passed the ball an okay amount. 29 potential assists. Potential assists is a ball that if it's exactly what it sounds like. It's a ball that when you pass it to a teammate, a ball that if it's going to go in, it's an assist. That's potential assists. He had 29. That's a crazy amount. For perspective, that's a bogus amount of potential assists. But I actually think that's a bad thing, that he had 29 potential assists tonight. And I think the reason why was one observation, which I actually tweeted out, second, third quarter, something like that. All of Westbrook's passes in this game against Indiana, like so many of his passes, they were just leading to shot opportunities. They weren't leading to ball movement. And they weren't really able to. I thought the second unit without Samaje Kristen tonight, Kristen out with a concussion. With Victor Oladipo running, I thought the second unit did an okay job moving the ball tonight. And the second unit had a lot of pluses in that plus-minus column. First unit didn't. Westbrook, I think, was a minus 18. But the rest of the first unit, a lot of those guys were worse. And the second unit did an okay job kind of fizzing the ball around the perimeter and getting guys open looks. And the first unit didn't really do that. And I thought some of that was on Westbrook. I mean, look, he's obviously prone to doing that at times. I think tonight was one of those times. I think he probably believes that, judging from his tone after the game, from the way that he said that he played. He made some great plays, but I think he got away from some of the decision-making that's made him so phenomenal offensively the last couple of games, last four games coming into tonight. Because, man, he was amazing in the Houston game. He is amazing in the Nets game. He was great in the Orlando game offensively, especially in those final three quarters. He was great in the Detroit game offensively, especially in those final three quarters. I mean, he's been really good. He hasn't been shooting those pull-up threes. And that followed him taking that pull-up three at the end of regulation to lose to the Clippers by two. Remember that? He came up on the left side, pulled up on Luka Mbamute from like close to 30 feet or something like that, and the ball hit back rim. And he said after that, hey, maybe I should have driven the ball. And after that, he only shot 10 threes over a four-game span, which is very low for Russell Westbrook. And a lot of those threes were warranted threes. Didn't take a lot of mid-range. He was shooting like 58% in his last four games coming into the Pacers game. And he takes 34 shots in this one. A lot of pull-ups, a lot of mid-range. Now give some credit to the Pacers. Miles Turner did a pretty good job in pick and roll. He was dropping back really far. Nate McMillan obviously told Miles Turner, hey, dude, don't you dare come up on those pick and rolls. If you have to, exaggerate how far back you drop back. Because he was really zoning up those pick and rolls really, like, as conservatively as you possibly can. And Westbrook took the bait a bunch. A lot of those were open shots. Some nights he hits those. Tonight he wasn't quite hitting them. But because of that, the Pacers were kind of taking away those passing lanes. There were a lot of passes that were going, but they were into shot opportunities. Some of them were open, and the Thunder missed open shots. And, you know, they make one extra shot in regulation. That's the difference in the game. You know, it was an overtime game. So it's hard to say that one aspect of the game lost it. There were a million different things that they did that lost it. There was the early defense. There was the backline help. There was the lack of ball movement in the first unit. I mean, you know, there was the slow start. There were lots of things that came together for them to drop this one. But the ball movement is something that needs to be more consistent. And I think Westbrook's selection and facilitating is something that needs to become more consistent. Westbrook took a lot of responsibility for this loss. I mean, he took a lot of it after the game. And he had a similar tone after that Clippers game when he went on this phenomenal offensive run the last four games. I wonder if that's something that we see again. I think it's possible. I think Russell Westbrook is more self-aware than people tend to realize that he is. I think people think that he just kind of goes out there and plays. I think he's more self-aware of his faults and of his strengths than other people realize that he kind of is, judging from just the way that he plays and the way that he talks. I think he realizes what things he needs to continue to do and when he's at his best and when he's not. And I think he realizes how to get to his best. And I think it just doesn't always come through on the court. But I think when you talk to him off the court, I think he realizes that kind of stuff. It just doesn't always happen. It doesn't always happen. But I do think he realizes it more than people actually give him credit for. A couple Twitter questions before we go from John Lamont. Why is Enes Kanter taking less minutes? He's the second top scorer, plus the Thunder can clearly see that he improved his defense. Now, here's the thing. I don't know if he improved his defense enough. The reason that Joffre Lauvergne was the first big man off the bench tonight was because Thaddeus Young is not a stretch four quite, but he is a perimeter-oriented face-up four, and that's not a great matchup for Enes Kanter. Now, Miles Turner isn't either, because Miles Turner is a pick-and-pop five. So you kind of got to pick your poison there if Enes Kanter is going to be playing in overtime or closing the game. That's kind of why we saw it. We saw Steven Adams guarding Turner and guarding Young and really guarding whoever was going to be out in the perimeter. And Kanter Kanter made a couple of nice defensive plays down by the basket. He's not a terrible post defender. Problem is, you pull him away from the basket and it really limits him offensively. And he's a role player. I know his salary makes it look like he's not a role player, but he is elite at certain parts of the game. He's a phenomenal down-low scorer. He's a great offensive rebounder. He's just tremendously skilled and graceful when you put him around the basket offensively. He's so great at that. But it's funny how someone you can look so graceful and beautiful offensively and then kind of look a little different on the defensive end when you get him away from the basket. You put him in the pick and roll. You make him guard a guy who stretches out to the three-point line. It's tough. It's tough. And so because of that, Billy Donovan treats him more like a role player. Because if you think of a star is a guy who can excel in any environment. A role player needs a role. He needs a certain environment for him to succeed. And that's why we see his minutes go up and down. It really depends on the opponent. He's really contingent on the opponent and the defensive matchup. Tonight was not great for him with Thaddeus Young, with Miles Turner, with these guys who can shoot. Was not great for him on the defensive end. And that's why we saw, look, Lavern's not an elite guy, but I think he's better at Kanter in that aspect. And shoot. I'm not going to credit this guy. If you listen to the podcast, I'm sorry. If you listen to the podcast, hit me up on Twitter. I'll give you Twitter love tomorrow. Someone suggested to me, which I thought was an interesting suggestion and a good one, why Lavern so much time at the four and why not Jeremy Grant moving him down a position at the four? I didn't ask Billy Donovan about that post game. I didn't get a chance to. We only get so many questions in, and I asked two or three questions already. And so I didn't get a chance to ask that to Billy post game, but maybe I will at some point. And I thought that was an interesting suggestion because he's more of a rim protector. He's probably more able as a guy guarding away from the basket because he's really like a 3-4 hybrid. So he can guard you know, wings and perimeter guys, and so he can certainly guard a guy like Thaddeus Young. There's no question that fits his defensive capabilities. So I thought that was an interesting suggestion. My guess is that the reason Billy went with LaVern, A, just keeping guys within a general rotation, and B, LaVern is going to provide a little bit more stretch. I think he's a better shooter than Jeremy Grant, and Grant's got a slow release, and it's hard for him to shoot in traffic, and I think LaVern might be a better shooter. So I think that probably had something to do with the two. Get some extra spacing on the floor if Russell Westbrook's going to be going at the rim and trying to create some lanes. Next one from Nate. How well do you think Vic played as point guard for the second unit? Do you see him doing that more even when Samaje returns? So Samaje Christen did not play on Sunday night. He's out with a concussion, no timetable on his return. That's normal. There's never a timetable on concussions, but he's in the NBA's concussion protocol right now, and that means the Thunder only have one point guard in Russell Westbrook, because Cameron Payne is also out with that fractured bone in his right foot. So that's really limited the Thunder. We saw Victor Oladipo run the second unit the whole way. Billy Donovan staggered his rotations, so either he or Westbrook was on the floor at all times. I think Victor Oladipo is looking more comfortable. I think he's kind of getting his... He's not getting his feet wet anymore. His feet are wet now. I think he did an okay job running that second unit. I think he facilitated some ball movement. I think he's much better working off the ball out of the corners right now than he is working at the top of the key with the ball. I don't think there's any question about that. He obviously looks more comfortable with Russell Westbrook handling the ball and him just being a catch-and-shoot guy, and he's been very good at that. Like, he's been very good at that, and that's his primary role. So the Thunder should be very excited that he has been really good in the role that's going to be the most important one for him, especially, you know, in closing time and in close games and that kind of stuff. When he and Westbrook are on the floor together, if he can shoot at a really good rate as a catch-and-shoot guy, and right now he is shooting as an elite catch-and-shoot guy to start the season. His catch-and-shoot numbers are phenomenal. I think the Thunder should be really encouraged about that, and I think he's looked even better of late. He looks more comfortable finding space within the offense, taking the ball every once in a while, going straight to the hoop as opposed to pulling up and taking those mid-range shots. And I think that was something that translated when he was running the second unit today. Going to the hoop a little bit more, working ball screens a little bit more. Something that he's struggling with in the second unit, I think, is initiating the offense. And that's something that can come that I think he can improve on. And Billy Donovan has said that he thinks something that he can improve on. I asked Billy about that after the game tonight, actually. Just getting into the offense. Like, there are a couple plays where it comes out to Victor, and Victor has to wait, you know, 4 seconds for someone to come up and set a screen so they can get into their offense, as opposed to running something. And I think that's something they need to be more seamless in that, so they can start their offensive sets with 16 on the shot clock as opposed to 12 on the shot clock. That makes a big difference. You don't have to rush nearly as much. And if a play doesn't work, if a set doesn't work, you're actually able to kick it out and maybe get something else. Maybe run another pick and roll. Maybe at least run an ISO with more time that's not just like chucking it up. So I think that's something that will come with time and will come with comfort for Oladipo. But there have been some flaws, but I do think he looks better now than he did like 11 games ago. I totally think he looks better now. Final Twitter question from Glazed and Consumed. Has Adams' defense been as bad as the hot takes are suggesting? No, that's why they're hot takes. I thought Adams' defense was off tonight, for sure. His helping on the back line was not as quick. I don't think there's anything to that. I think it was kind of an off night for him. I don't think he boxed out great either. But, like, I don't think that's going to trend into the next game. Like, the Lakers are a good matchup for him. I think he'll be fine. And the Lakers, offensively, the Lakers really struggled guarding the Russell Westbrook pick and roll the first time around. So that's something where I think maybe he can get in a little bit of a role moving forward. But the defense, I mean, look, I thought he was great. I thought he was really good in the Houston game. I thought he was really good in the Nets game. I didn't think he was great by his standards in the Detroit game, but really no one was great defensively in the Detroit game. He was not great in the Orlando game. He was not great in the Orlando game. Look, he hasn't been, if you're going to hold him to the standard of all defense, he hasn't been all defense. Right now, Andre Roberson is their best defensive player. But Adams has been really good. He's been really good as a pick and roll defender. He hasn't been quite as good as a rim protector. But like, look, Steven Adams, especially when he plays with Kanter and stuff, he's guarding the guys on the perimeter. Like, they're offensively, Kanter plays the four in those lineups, but Adams is really the four. Like, we can say Kanter is the four and Adams the five. Like, Adams is really the four. Adams is guarding the four in those lineups. And that's hard. It takes stuff out of him. Like, that's not what his natural possession is. That's not what his natural preference is. That kind of stuff is hard. And it's hard for him to get on the perimeter and that kind of stuff. And I think he's done, at the very least, a good job. At the very least, a good job. And at the very most, a very good job. And I think he's trended in and out. And I think last year we saw Steven Adams get better throughout the season. And I think that's something that we're going to see again this year. It's still early. It's still 14 games into the year. The Thunder are 8-6. They're still a top 10 defense. But this is a top 10 defense without a lot of great defenders. Robertson's great, no question. I think Oladipo's having a good defensive year. I think he's been good. I think Grant has been definitely solid. He hasn't been here the whole time. He's been here most of the time. I think Grant has been solid. I think LaVerne's been better than I expected him to be, but he's not really playing quite enough minutes to where he can make a massive impact. And a lot of other guys are not necessarily great on the defensive end. Sabonis has been a pretty decent team defender. But when a team is in the top 10, you got to give credit. You got to give credit to the anchor. You got to give credit to the anchor because that center is to your defense almost what your point guard is to your offense. He's running it. He's facilitating it. He's calling out signals. Like, Steven Adams is so aware defensively. So I sit courtside for these games. I can see him. I can hear him. And he's like as vocal. He's crazy vocal defensively. And when I say that, I don't mean he's like out there saying like, great play, guys. He's there. He's calling out plays. He's identifying plays the other teams are running and telling the Thunder what they are as the plays are happening. And guys know where to go. Like, that kind of stuff, there's not a stat for that. But that is so valuable. And that's why you see the Thunder defense is so much better when he's out there. And that's the kind of stuff that, like, the great centers do. And I'm not saying Steven Adams is a great center right now. With the way that he's playing, he's not yet a great center. I think he can be a great center. I think he will be a great center. He's still 23 years old. Like, let's hold him to reasonable standards. He's still 23 years old. And I think Steven Adams has the talent and the mind to be and the work ethic to be a great center. He hasn't been playing like a great one, but let's not forget, he's also got the hand. But he's certainly, I think, been playing like a good one. I don't think there's any doubt in my mind about that. Remember, I'm on every weekday, Monday through Friday. Like I said at the top of the show, not going to have a show this Friday, Thanksgiving week, so I'm taking Thursday off, but I'm back to the usual schedule next week and shows every other day this week before that. You can head on to iTunes to subscribe to Locked On Thunder. And if you have questions or comments, email lockedonthunder@gmail.com. You can also find me on Twitter @FredKatz and log on to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs. Check out Thunder Road to follow my team coverage. It's just under the sports tab on the site, and you can see what's next for the Thunder there. That's going to do it for today. I'm back with you tomorrow for more Thunder and NBA talk. Until next time, though, Locked On Thunder is locking up.